I'll probably just be the Sats Lord. I haven't read many comics, but I have opinions on all sorts of things.
Yeah, dude, what are some opinions you got?
Are you recording right now?
Yes! That's why it's in the trades!
This is opinion number one. Musicals need to go past the idea that love fixes all things, because it never does. Love is transitory and most often fake. Unless it's between two super cool buds or family. Because family doesn't really give you a choice of who you have to love.
I'm going to go ahead and say on record you can opt out of loving your family. I realize that's not the main point of what you're saying here.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
You can just not do it. Not even God can make you.
God can make people do horrible things.
Is that another one of your opinions that you've got? Theology is God can make people do horrible things. I think it's conventional, but still relevant.
Yeah, that's my hot take.
I mean, shit, yeah, first of all. I'm not sure I would have identified musicals as the area of cultural production most relevant to our contemporary understandings of love, etc. Really, I would say that pastiche has fairly thoroughly taken on the genre if we consider things like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Which engages directly with that notion of, like, the faux solutionhood of love. But I would also say, yeah, dude, love's fake.
good shout-out to Rachel Bloom right there.
I sure the fuck have not watched any Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I did watch Fuck Me, Ray Bradbury, her breakout hit single about how she would like to fuck Ray Bradbury, greatest sci-fi writer in history.
I don't think there are many people who wouldn't not fuck him.
Would you fuck Ray Bradbury?
Probably not, but I'm not going to take it off the table.
Okay, fuck Mary Kill, Asimov, Bradbury, Clark.
Mary Asimov.
Yes.
I'd kill Clark.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's the only solution? I think that's the only possible solution.
The thing with Asimov, in terms of marriage, is that it wouldn't be a loving marriage, but it would be very practical. And it would make the moments of intimacy that much more potent.
What moments of intimacy are you really anticipating from Asimov? Everything that hold on, was Asimov ever married? I know he was kind of a creep. I know that about Asimov. Which is fine, I'd marry him anyway. I've accepted that about him. We've moved past it in our relationship because he's dead. Which makes it way easier to have a relationship with him, to be really, really honest. Easier to love a dead person. Because there's no expectation of reciprocity. That's sad. I'm gonna back that one up. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Asimov would be a tender husband to you. I'm sure y'all two would make it work. Okay, so far in the opinions column, right? Some slandering of musicals. Some slandering of love. Some theology. Fuck Bradbury, marry Asimov, kill Clark. Great. I think that covers it. That's all the news for the week. Right. Comics gossip. So, MICE, the Massachusetts Independent Comics Expo, which I think you've gone to. Have you gone to MICE?
I went once.
Yeah. I've never gone, because I left that frozen hell world behind me and I've never looked back. So they had a room named after R. Crumb for no fucking reason, because it's Year of Our Lord 2018. We all know that he's trash. Moving the fuck along. And they finally fucking changed the name of it. So the comic scholars listserv has been exploding with men's fucking opinions about R. Crumb. So it's like, wow, what year of discourse is this? Is this 1967? Is this 1976? Is this 2006? No. No, this is the year of our Lord, 2018. And motherfuckers are still like, well, Crumb had a tender side, and I don't think we've adequately considered this when we looked at his racist rape fantasy comics. I'm like, oh, word? So cool.
Crumb was problematic, but his depictions of women were always tasteful.
Aaron, I'm going to walk to New York City, and I'm going to strangle you.
It wasn't about their bodies. It was about the how their bodies made him feel.
Aaron, I'm going to start walking now, right? In about a month. That's optimistic. I'm not that in shape. In September, I'm going to arrive in New York City, and I'm going to punch you in the face.
By September, I will have done more damage to myself, probably.
Okay, sad but true. But, you know, we're gonna punch you in the face anyway. Because, to be honest, that's trolling. Trolling is its own reward, but the reward for trolling is a punch in the face. So,
as it should be.
As it should be. Yeah, but no, that's pretty much what motherfuckers have been saying. And like, one dude fucking appended to... Okay, so there's a bunch of bullshit. Because there's always a bunch of bullshit. It's mostly a bunch of bullshit being like, but why are you trying to write this guy out of history? And everyone's like, well, we're not trying to write him out of history. We're trying to fix the way that history is done so that it's less about rapists and his just fucking wicked racist cartooning. And all the men are like, but why are you trying to write people out of history? And that just goes back and forth in a useless cycle, and everyone pats themselves on the fucking back for being nuanced. Fine. But some lady on the listserv was like, I'm so glad that men are here to explain this to me, which is correct. And this motherfucker, the fucking, he's a rival podcaster. This is important. He runs fucking Ron's Basement Comics podcast. So, like, what up, Ron's fucking basement, who's a rival now?
That's a shitty name.
Yeah, it sure the fuck is. Ron's Basement Comedy Podcast, so that illustrious fucking scholar, replies being like, well, not mansplaining because some fucking bullshit about, like, well, it wasn't directed at anybody, I was just trying to participate in the listserv. And includes a fucking R. Crumb drawing of a lady being like, Gerald, could you get your penis out for me? And a dude reaching into his pants. And that is the image that this man appended to his response to the whole ass listserv.
It always amazes me the depths of stupidity that resides in the human heart. So his argument was essentially, hey, I like this guy's stuff, though. Which isn't really an argument for... It's not an argument even defending Crumb's work.
Yeah.
It's just that he feels some type of... So it's a bunch of men feeling some type of way,
yes,
on a message board?
Yeah, basically. And then...
Yeah.
So, the name of the room has been changed. It is no longer the Crumb Room. And there was a bunch of bullshit about censorship, which, like, I don't know why men are so stupid, first of all. Don't understand it. Don't know what made them like this. But the notion that it's somehow censorship to revoke official recognition of someone as, like, representative or an icon or, like, officially part of your whole-ass institution, the idea that changing that is censorship versus, like, not fucking giving it to someone else in the first place, right? If one move is censorship, surely the other is equally censorship, because it's not about silencing someone. It's about fucking revoking institutional standing, which is granted, potentially can contain some censorship, depending on, like...
It's mostly sexist and racist.
Yeah, like, okay, let's be quite clear here. No part of this is like, oh, well, poor R. Crumb getting fucking censored. No part of that. None whatsoever. I hope R. Crumb fucking chokes on his fucking mealy white supremacist soup and fucking has an aneurysm and dies. But...
That's why you went to soup.
I don't know. I have a mental image of R. Crumb as someone who eats a lot of soup.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I get that.
Does he seem like he doesn't eat a lot of soup to you? Because R. Crumb seems to me like a man who eats soup, slurps soup, and has, like, a lot of opinions on the texture of soup.
I have no doubt in my mind that Crumb ate many camels in his life. Campbells.
Yeah.
It's just very hard to choke on soup.
Okay, what should I hope Arkham chokes on instead?
I sort of want him to... Now I feel like I'm mansplaining how R. Crumb should choke.
Please mansplain how R. Crumb should choke to me, Aaron. I'm so glad there's a man here to explain this to me.
I'm more of an entity.
Yeah, that's fair. You're right. How should R. Crumb die instead?
If we're talking like man deaths, he should choke on like a salad. Or, like, choke on, like, a big hunk of meat.
Do you think R. Crumb... That's the thing, though, is R. Crumb's deal has always been presenting himself as, like, weedy, as, like, a pathologized, non-masculine, like, reject nerd, right? That's always been his bit, is he compares himself, one, with women who he wants to subjugate, or who he wants to sexually subjugate him, and then also with, like, manly men. So his claims to masculinity are very specifically constructed against women and against successful men, basically.
That's the thing that confuses me is why so many... It's not... You'd think it'd be nerdy guys, and it is a lot of nerdy guys who defend Crumb, but it's also hyper-masculine comic nerds, which are a weird new subset.
That's gross. I don't like that. Where are those coming from?
Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah, they are, aren't they? Fucking, now that they made Chris Pratt a jock.
DC movies, too, to be fair.
What?
DC movies as well, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. Although I feel like it's kind of... Okay, so... I feel like the sort of takeaway from DC movies ended up being the Joker, which is more of a weedy, weirdo, reject-loved character. Whereas DC's whole branding is much more tough guy. And Marvel, where the branding is much doofier and much, like, more good-natured, at least in their, like, their comics line,
yeah,
somehow has been the one producing all the mega jocks.
It's very confusing. It's sort of like what came first, the chicken or the egg, but it's what came first, toxic masculinity or...
Different toxic masculinity?
Or comic books, yeah. Yeah. We're all doomed.
I mean, yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Until our Lord and Savior, Stormy Daniels, comes down in her golden chariot.
You know what? It's as likely as anything the fuck else at this point.
I'm with it.
Yeah. I'm with her. Stormy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing but respect for my president.
I was about to be like, then I realized you were saying Stormy Daniels, would be your president.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
That is absolutely.
Just for everybody, what are your opinions on DT, D-Dumps?
Oh, you know, big fan. Just big, big fan.
Yeah, he's definitely a statesman.
Yeah, I think we here at the Trades, huge fans of the Donald, respect his business acumen, and also yeah. just his human decency.
Never before has a president given paper towels to a country in need, personally.
Yeah. I mean, people criticize that gesture, but you know what? He was there with a smile on his face, and that's what service is about. I'm sure that is the same standard of service that they have in any of his properties. Trump hotels, Trump restaurants, Trump colleges. You get the exact same level of being handed something with a smile as the people of Puerto Rico did.
And they're doing great.
Doing fucking great.
Sorry, PR. Oh, man.
Yeah. So I did read some comics, uncharacteristically. I know, right? Getting fucking crazy. I still have comics that I need to mail to you, but to be honest at this point, I'm a little afraid of your mailbox. Like, now that I've had comics get lost in the mail, I'm, like, afraid to send things there. So, if you ever move to a different house, I'll mail you a lot of comics.
That's fair.
Or, like...
Did they not even get sent back?
They did, eventually. They're sitting on the top shelf of my closet.
Okay.
I didn't let my friends read them when they came over to read comics at my house. I was like, no, those are Aaron's comics. So they're kept separate. I don't know if that was a useful gesture to you compared to not doing that, but there was a spirit of caring behind it.
That's appreciated.
So eventually I will mail you at least one of the comics that I read that I'm going to talk about now, but it could be a fucking minute, because I'm afraid of your mailbox. I don't know if we can just get Andy Green to be our comics go-between, because he seems like a man with a very stable address.
Honestly, yeah. That worked better.
Yeah.
Me and Andy Green are neighbors pretty much as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Andy Green's life is a mystery to me. I don't know what Andy is doing these days, because anyone who does not do a podcast with me, I don't talk to.
Honestly, that's the way to be.
Yeah, it's working really well. I've had a really good time turning all of my friendships into performing bits. I think reducing all of my friendships to 1 hour of, like, buzzable content. That's not true. None of my podcasts are listenable. But, like, it's a good solution. Okay, so the two comics I read. What Is Left by Rosemary Valero O'Connell, who did a comic that you actually sent to me. So this is going to be, like, with... Lisa Hannawalt comics, where we, like, swapped Lisa Hannawalt comics. This is going to be, like that, where we're swapping Rosemary Valero O'Connell comics. The one that she did that you gave to me was a couple years back, and it was the one where there's this lady, and she's, like, hanging out in this house, and then a plant grows in her. It was super the fuck good.
Do you have that?
Yeah. Do you want it back? I can mail it to you. It's sitting on my, I think I have it. There's a small possibility that some nerd in my town has it right now. But yeah, no, when we get Andy Green to act as our comics, like, middleman, I'll send that one with this one, and that'll be good. I didn't realize you didn't realize I had it, but yeah, I'll send that back. So this one is more sci-fi. More beautiful, lush, and it's printed by Shortbox. So Zainab Akhtar's
She's very insistent that it's not a subscription box, and that's true, but it does act like a subscription box in that it's a curated box that comes out monthly and you, like, opt in to it. You cannot get a subscription to it, to Shortbox, but it is a similar business model to subscription boxes in that you are trusting the taste and the curation that goes into this, and that's part of what you're buying into, is not just the objects, but the curation behind it. I think what is left was in a short box, but I don't really know, because I have not got one for a while. Or I got one, which is much of what I'm mailing to you, but I don't really remember what was in it, and it's been a while. Anyway, beautiful science fiction. It's in pinks and purples on black paper. No, just the cover's black. But mostly it's pinks and purples.
It's in space.
Yeah, it's in space. The premise is a spaceship runs on memory, and one person is still alive after that spaceship crashes, but she's then stuck in the memories that were powering the spaceship. And the person whose memories they are dead.
That's right up my alley. That's pretty fucked up.
It's so good, and it's so sad, and it's, yeah, it's so beautiful. It's lavishly drawn. It's got incredible, incredible set pieces. And there's a lot of really, it's like comic shit. Like, there's a lot of stuff in terms of how pages are framed that communicates, I would say, pretty, like, standardly or whatever. Like, it's very comics language of, like, how memories in that are experienced in this fragmented way look in comics. But also, it's beautiful, and she's so good at it. And I think, okay, so the Comics Journal ran some shit recently, talking shit about some comic that they're like, it's not expanding the visual language of the medium. So that's my impression of Dan Nadel of the Comics Journal. I'm not expanding the visual language of the medium. Anyway, so in some ways it draws on language that we expect in comics for memory. And by language, I mean panel layout and panel framing, where, like, a bunch of small boxes laid out, not in a clearly linear fashion, but not overlapping. So a very collage-y thing where you can piece. There's a lot of piecing it together, but, and importantly, you're not overwriting it by making assumptions. It is both fully present as something that is fractured, and, like, you make connections without overwriting that fracturedness, without the fracturedness ceasing to be true. And that's really important, actually, to what this comic does, because she's experiencing, like, this girl's whole ass life. Her whole ass life. But in a very fragmented way, because it's just bits of memory here and there and here and there and here and there, composing basically a world that she's inhabiting, right? So, one, mapping space and time, hashtag that's comics, bitch. And then, I'm sorry, I'm being really obnoxious tonight. I had...
You're delightful.
I had class earlier, so I'm, like, in a fucking mood. yeah.
It reminds me of Doctors by Shaky Kane, or at least the premise, sort of. The track bits.
Do you mean Doctors by Dash Shaw?
Yes.
Okay.
Shaky Kane is someone else, or a name I just made up.
I think that's your alias now.
Shaky Kane?
I think it's actually someone. Like, I think there's a person.
Everybody refers to me as Grandpa because I talk very slow. And they think it's that I'm tired and sleepy, but it's my general disinterest in most people and places.
Shaky Kane is a different... He did 2008 and shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Dashaw's Doctors is what it reminds me. The premise reminds me of.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, on the one hand, I'm really interested in that notion that, like, if you see somebody's whole life, you know them. Right? Like, what does it mean to experience somebody's whole life? One, never happens, can't happen, but, like, as a thought experiment, just what does that mean about someone? Like, we never interact with them, but you see their life. What do you know? What interiority is necessary to knowing someone or to loving someone? And what exteriority or what experience of their experiences, what witnessing of their experiences is sufficient to know and to love someone? Because part of the bit of this comic is that she does eventually sort of love and care for the person whose memories she's living in, partly because they're keeping her alive, and partly because I think that's inevitable, because prolonged exposure leads necessarily to care, or at least I have to think that, or it can be a communist.
Sorry.
No, well, what were you saying?
I just said Stockholm Syndrome.
Okay, there's that. Can you believe people think I'm the cynical one of the two of us? That's a thought that people have had.
Well, only you get the juicy parts, man.
I mean, you're perfect in every way, but also, I can't believe people think that I'm the jaded one of the two of us. Like, you are an angel of a human being, radiant in, with light and so on, but also, like, damn.
You're definitely, I'm a corrector right now. In terms of, Fiona's the positive one. I am the bitter sweetheart.
Yeah, you have the heart of gold of the two of us. I just keep things a little more posy. Like, that's the difference. Like, you have a heart full of sweetness, and my heart is full mostly of bile. But, like... Anyway, so that's that fucking comic.
Is it that either way, if you're seeing someone's memories, you don't get to see the inner workings of their mind, right?
Yeah. So the way that the memory is structured, as far as the comic tells us, I think, is that you're just witnessing that it happened. So it's memories, but it's not like seen through their eyes. It's like third person view.
Okay.
Yeah, you're like witnessing these things happen to this person. And it is everything from first kiss to skinned knee to like crying a bunch. Causes of crying, obscure.
How much crying?
Medium amount of crying.
Okay. I am a fan of high crying comic books, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to settle. Yeah, so eventually I will mail this to you via Andy, because I think you're going to like it a lot. It's really beautiful. It's really, like, smart in a lot of ways. It's very... One of the things that is true of Rosemary Valero O'Connell is, like, she is a master of the form. People say that. They think Dan Klaus. People say that. They think Chris Ware. People are wrong. Rosemary Valero O'Connell, where it's fucking at.
Is she just still doing that psychedelic... Not really psychedelic, water drop, whatever.
I don't know.
Like, she uses colors to denote emotion sometimes more than a person's face.
In that she's done this whole thing in washes of pink and purple. But colors represent, or like, colors... Absolutely, are used effectively, like affectively, like they're used to mean feels, but also they're not like one to one. It's not like this is blue because she's sad.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a keeper. Hopefully, comics catches up.
Yeah, comics needs to get on her fucking level. The other thing that I read was an Emily Carroll horror comic, Beneath the Dead Oak Tree, which is like, there's a fox, she's a nice fox lady, there's another fox, they're in a ball full of foxes, her fox boyfriend is like, you want to meet me beneath the dead oak tree? And she's like, I don't know, buddy. And then she goes out and she witnesses him do a fucking murder on a different lady, and then they get married. And then there's a twist ending, but I won't spoil it.
How cute are these foxes?
Let me Let me do a thing.
That's a cute fox.
She wears a variety of fancy dresses through the course of the comic. At one point, she wears a cute fox wedding dress. Yeah, there's a lot to like.
Emily Carroll has always been one of the ones I like since she did the Internet Spooky Stories. Mm-hmm. I know that's not the name of the comic, but I'm talking like the one where the guy talks to the well.
She's got a bunch of really interesting stuff. I think she's sort of best known or whatever for her, the ways that she incorporates like digital features or like digital shit into her art, but also I just like her as a horror artist where she's like, yeah, that's a horror. And then I clap like a seal.
Horror is great and it deserves a proper platform. Thanks, comics.
Yeah. Thanks, comics. You didn't fuck up, shooting star.
What is it with murderers and always putting people underneath trees?
Yeah, come on.
In the woods. Just don't. What happened to just throwing a body in the ocean?
You know, I think you're onto something here. I think that's something as a watch list.
Whoops. To be clear to the NSA, I am far too lazy to murder anyone.
I mean, listen, NSA, how long did it take us to get around to recording this episode? Months? Months? We're sure the fuck. Aaron's not murdering anybody. I'm not murdering anybody. We just have some tips.
It's just like common knowledge, though. Like, wear gloves, you dummies. Also, just don't murder people. It's super easy not to do.
I've managed to make it 26 human years without taking a life, so if I can do it, anybody can.
Yeah.
That's the Aaron's Wisdom Corner for today. So all you kids out there in listener land.
If you take anything from me, just don't murder people. You should read. I'm going to check them books out and boxes.
I will mail these to you. You will get these in the mail. I know I've been saying I'll mail a lot of things to you, and what I've done instead is nothing. But I did try.
No, it was my mail carrier that was. A part of me is like, maybe no one picked it up, because my neighbor used to be getting like those food thingies in the mail, and I would bring them in all the time. And eventually, I was just like, they're never home. They're heavy. I'm not doing this. Maybe in a. I've been watching a lot of true crime, so I think it's probably an act of revenge.
Okay, well, as long as nobody's murdering anybody, I think we're still fine.
All the crimes in my life are mail related.
Don't talk about crimes on the internet. Yeah.
I've never committed a crime in my life.
Yeah. Have you read any... So you've been watching true crime. Have you read any true crime... Are there true crime comics? I don't like that. I don't like that idea.
There are some. I have been... Mostly reading. I read The Pride of Baghdad that was lent to me by one Andrew Green. Did you read that one?
Nope. I was just nodding because I know who Andrew Green is. I'm like, yep, Andy, yep, absolutely. So what was that comic?
It's a fictional account of a real occurrence where a zoo was bombed in Baghdad and a bunch of lions broke out. And it's their viewpoint of getting out into the world up until they are unfortunately massacred by the army.
Oh, God, that's so sad. No part of that isn't sad.
It's a doozy. It's Brian K. Vaughan, so of course it's a lot of musings about freedom and, like, what does it mean to be free? And also, like, characters that are like, oh, he's a lazy shitball. Then being like, nah, I guess I gotta do something. When I do the thing.
Honestly, okay, you're not necessarily gonna like this, so please be angry at me in advance. The fact that it's Brian K. Vaughan also explains why he would use, like, non-white people as a setting for his actual characters and then his abstract musings on freedom. That's very Brian K. Vaughan of him.
No, that's real.
You know, he's got a lot going on. Brian K. Vaughan has a lot going on is my new catchphrase, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, because the lion thing is a true story.
Yeah.
And if it's, like, musing on freedom, that seems like a fucked up way of engaging with, like, the fucking Iraq War. Like, the Iraq War is not about abstract musings on freedom. The Iraq War is about, like, fucking racist bombings.
Bombing a lot of people for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
And apparently lions and monkeys as well.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of like, there's that definite cringe factor there, but it's one of those things where they're in trying to be an ally, it's sort of, spitting in the face of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that it's an affecting comic, or even that it's a good comic. It's just, it feels very Brian K. Vaughan, that he would be like, ah, I know how to explain the tragedy of the Iraq War. Lions.
It's, like, too difficult to empathize with brown people. It's mostly the drawing that's good, in my opinion.
Who drew it? I can check Wikipedia too.
Lex Nico Henrich.
Okay.
The guard is sort of a big thing in it for me. Because it's very strong lines. Beautiful landscapes. Dude can draw animals.
Hell yeah. That's important if you're going to be drawing about lions, I think.
They are animals.
Yeah, they're for sure animals. Apparently, his first major work was a graphic novel titled Barnum! Exclamation mark, written by Howard fucking Chaykin and some David Tishman dude who I don't know anything about. But Howard fucking Chaykin. Funny.
So, who's that guy?
Fucking Divided States of Hysteria fucking Howard Chaykin.
Sounds like you got opinions about that.
We've talked about Divided States of Hysteria on the show, bud.
Wait, what episode was that?
That was a while back, but yeah, it's the one. It was a bad one. I mean, the episode was good, because all our episodes are good, because we're super funny and talented, but...
Of course.
Yeah, naturally, inevitably. Unavoidably. No, we've talked about Howard fucking Chaykin on the show before. I'm not gonna drag us down that rabbit hole of fuckery again, but... Yeah, that's funny. At least, whatever else there is to say about Brian K. Vaughan. White and the Last Man was pretty good, although I bet if I read it now, I'd be mad at it. And he's not Howard Chaykin.
That's That's a pretty big plus.
Yeah. I don't know. He can write a fucking story. Like, as annoyed as I am by Vaughn, like, politically, he can write a fucking story that moves. I mean, I've bitched about how slowly he starts all of his stories, and I stand by that, but dude's a competent storyteller. I don't necessarily think he should be telling all the stories he tells for whatever reason. So you like the art, is that. So you like the art.
I finally remembered who Chankin was, and yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Yeah, the art's great. It's real. It's not heavy-handed in a way that a lot of comics artists are going for now. It's more about the space around the characters than, like, doing super detailed. He actually does really detailed work on the animals, too. But he's very good at creating an atmosphere.
Hell yeah. I think space is really important for that. Or, like, for what would make a comic like that interesting. Okay, so we're at, like, an hour of the trades now, and I'm going to try to edit it some in the next couple days. Although, to be really, really honest, whether or not that happens, that is anybody's guess. I am wildly irresponsible, and, like, we'll I, what? No, I'm diligent. I'm a diligent student, and I have finals and shit. But I'll try to... What the fuck, buddy? What the fuck? What? Why have you sent me a picture of what I think is a bear eating a child, but I'm not sure?
It's a baby who gave up on life drinking milk from a bunch of animals that saved him because he realized that life is worth living, and that's him crying for the first time.
How does a baby give up on life? Babies don't even have object permanence. Babies can't have existential dread. They don't have a brain.
I haven't finished the manga yet, but I don't have those answers.
When we say baby, like, how much of a baby is it? Should he have object permanence? This child looks too young to even really play peekaboo that well. Like,
it's a straight-up baby, I don't mean.
Yeah, like, it doesn't look like it has a fucking spine that can support its weird, ugly bobblehead. This baby can't have given up on life. It's a baby. I'm sure the sentimental value you're getting out of that story is really worth all of the inaccuracies about human development. Also, is that a bear? What the fuck animal is that supposed to... This whole image is deeply cursed, Aaron. You have cursed me. You've cursed my family for 7 generations. I don't know why you chose to do that, but you did, and I respect it.
Thanks.
I can't stop looking at it.
Right. I'll explain that comic sometime, but it's good.
Okay, well, we will do another episode. I'm trying to, like... Someone pointed out to me that apparently our podcast is really long and no one's going to listen to that. So first of all, haters. Second of all, I'm like trying to think about making a podcast that's a listenable length that someone would voluntarily spend their time on. So we will do a second another episode. We'll do more later. But do you have closing wisdom for all the listeners out there in listener land besides, I guess, if you're feeling really existential despair, you get an animal to feed you milk?
No. Live your best life, I guess.
Yeah, live your best life, I guess. We guess. We're not that whatever. Okay, as always, thank you so much for listening to The Trades. You can find us on Facebook at The Trades Podcast, at thetrades.podomatic.com. We're on iTunes now. We've been on iTunes. There is an iTunes. Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much. Bye.